live from First String Sports, it's Pag Meter's wrap-up show. And now, here's your host, Nick Papagni.
Well, we are live on a Saturday afternoon here from First String Sports, your one-stop shop for everything you need in all high school apparel, outfits, umpires, officiating, bats, balls, and, of course, anything to complete your entire set of awards. There's trophies here, so you might want to make this part of your stop as you get ready for all these banquets, and most football teams have finished. I'm Matt Johnson. Of course, this is not the Pag Meter. Pag Meter's on location doing his thing back south at one of the big, large basketball, high school basketball tournaments. I'll be carrying the show for the next hour from 11 to 12, and it's perfect timing. We're going to race right into this because we've got outstanding guests here and some legendary names in our valley, and since this was the beginning and now not the end but the beginning of high school football recruiting, and now as we segue into, for football at least, 7-on-7, it's always been controversial, and people have asked me all the time, what do you think about 7-on-7, and what do you think about all this extra stuff that goes on? It's almost like AAU basketball now. You have to be involved in the summer. And I always tell them that, yeah, I mean, life changes, sports change, and as we move forward each year after year, there's new things that happen. If you're not on the cutting edge, you're going to get left behind. And that segues into something I saw being developed by the late great, you know, my good friend and really an icon of sport in this valley. That's Tony Perry, and who started into the 7-on-7 thing. I remember back with Tim McDonald looking at that like, what are they doing? They're not even getting the right coaching. That's not what we want to do. But the kids were actively involved. And what Tony Perry built and others in the valley, that's kind of where we are today. And so a lot of the show obviously is going to be dedicated to the life work of Tony Perry and where we are at today. And having said that, a man that was along that journey for most of it, who's now still involved in what we call DB Guru. There's other teams all around the state and the country. But welcome into the show, Mr. Lee Perkins.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so tell me now, when you see the high school recruits, and by the way, I don't know your opinion. I'm going to get it from all these guys. We're going to be visiting with Johnny Johnson, who's had two sons go through it. He was a college football player at Fresno State. James Fuller went through the process as a player. Will Hamilton here is to talk a little bit about the linemen and all that movement towards also making sure the big fellas are getting all this extra training. And, of course, a coach, high school football coach, he's been around a long time. He's got a son who's involved in it right now, Garnett Fountain. Hopefully we'll visit with Jalen Cropper, the great Buchanan Bear, who's now moving on to Fresno State. But, Lee, 7-on-7, tell us from the beginning and the growth and obviously what Tony Perry has meant to a lot of these young athletes as they got themselves into college.
Certainly he was the backbone of 7-on-7 here in Fresno, the starter of it. Went through a lot of hard times. To the point, last year we went to Pylon in Las Vegas. There were 120-odd teams with 30 players each, and it was the best of the best across the country. And this year we were lucky to be third in the country in respect for Tony Perry.
Yep.
And what we're seeing is the growth, just like you said, of AAU basketball. Football now has evolved where the kids need to be engaged year-round. So they're getting the footwork training, the hip drills, catching the ball. So Coach Sumlin just summed it up this week that they're getting as much as 1,000 more snaps playing football than other kids that are staying home watching TV. So,
well, especially in the communities that I've always been involved in coaching, all the way up to where I am now in Madera, there's an at-risk young student-athlete, whether it's male or female. And if they don't have these type vehicles, unless you've got a coach that likes to work 365 days out of the year and he continues to compete, and there are several out there that do that, but I don't see anything wrong with turning over some of your talented, gifted student athletes over to another group, let them be exposed to things a little bit differently. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But most importantly, get them off the streets, get them involved in competitive athletics. And that's why I've always been for all this 7-on-7 and all that. I mean, you see that, correct?
Absolutely. It's an opportunity to get the kids together off the street and yeah, into some form of organization and work it out.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about numbers. It's your numbers. You gave me a number earlier this morning on Tony Perry. And for those of you who don't know, TP, Tony Perry was an Edison alumni, played defensive back at Edison back in the 80s, early 80s. He probably was graduated at the same time I did, about 81. But Tony Perry was injured, went to junior college, phenomenal all-valley defensive back. People would see him on the sidelines and think, oh, no, he never played defensive back. But that was his position. And through the years, he whether you want to call it self aggrandizement or just self-promotion. That's what a lot of people thought Tony Perry was all about him. But he gave so much to make sure that certain student-athletes in our valley had a voice and were recognized through colleges. His Rolodex of college coaches and recruiters was, I've never seen anything like it. And as the years went on, his pride was in watching all of these athletes. And they weren't all Edison Tigers. They were from everywhere. And as the DB Guru 7-on-7 crew, more athletes. How many young lives did he help change their life in their direction and help them get into college?
Well, we had a travel team basically of 30 people over the last 10 years. So that's 300 lives. He had 195 kids that I know received scholarships.
195 scholarship athletes, which is, that's 195 young men. Some obviously based on their skill level probably would have been recruited and you name it. Maybe they weren't, maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to Bob Stoops or Brian Kelly out at Notre Dame or any of those other big names that he was associated with. But anyone who always takes that view of Tony Perry like they used to do with myself and, of course, Tim McDonald of this negative, man, that dude's he's manipulating. He's using those kids. I really, that to me, those become fighting words because someone's got to be out there advocating for the kids, and he was one of them. Now that you've progressed into keeping this DB Guru and Tony Perry's mission alive, what are some of the other things now that's going on that's changed since the beginning?
Good question. I think the changing point was when we had the Jim Harbaugh camp.
Okay.
That's where it really became legitimate. People came out doubting, oh, Tony Perry can't get Jim Harbaugh here. And we had 350 people that showed up for that camp. Now we've been kind of a traveling road show. We've had it at Edison. We've had it at Roosevelt. Last year we did our practice at Fresno High. This year we've taken it to San Joaquin Memorial because it's a centralized school. They've got great facilities there. So we started 2 weeks ago Sunday. We'll have another practice tomorrow at 2 o'clock. But we've added big man. We're doing all sorts of ladders and shuttle drills. So it's a full camp, per se, for football. It's not just for 7-on-7. That will be put in also, but that'll come later.
Yeah, well, we're visiting with Lee Perkins, who's now the director now of DB Guru. What would be your...
I'm called the CFO or CEO of the DB Guru.
Okay.
So I've run the offense for the last 10 years, and we're committed to Tony Perry.
My good friend over at James Fuller, he's trying to solicit some more information out of you. You can go ahead and just tell him. We're a big family here. You can speak out loud and just tell him. You good?
Yeah.
It's good? Yeah. Yeah. It's hand signals. Sometimes it's difficult to understand.
Certainly.
I get that. But
It's CJ and Tony were the first together. I was brought on 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just been an exciting, evolving change in DB Guru, all still with Tony Perry's mission and goals, and that's to help kids.
Yeah.
And it's been a real honor to follow through after last year's, you know, sudden death.
Right on. And I've seen you everywhere all over the valley, and you continue to help support local high school athletics. Might be a tough question. You don't have to answer this, but is there as you move along from season to season, do you try to stay with one group, one high school that you'd really like to be affiliated with? I've seen you on the sidelines. I've coached against you and with you. What's your future now? What's your plans for high school football?
Because of my company, I've been fortunate to do a lot of things. Pacific Grain and Foods has allowed me to help kids from all over.
Yep.
So we're lucky. DB Guru has 15 high schools that we're representing. It's not just Edison, it's Memorial or whatever. Yep. We're taking everybody in. We're open. There's no charge.
Yep.
Pacific Grain and Foods, Ken, is the benefactor of this.
Yep.
And we're able to take anybody from middle school all up to 11th grade.
Yes.
And help them get better.
Do you like, just last question I'll ask everybody this, do you like the idea that there are two recruiting dates now, an early period now and a later signing period?
No, because I'm still involved with high school football, and it makes it difficult.
I don't know
how the college coaches are doing it.
Yeah. Really. Because they're getting ready for bowl games. They're trying to get their rosters all lined up.
That's correct.
I think it's great for the high school. Myself, personally, I'll ask the other coaches as they come through here. But Lee Perkins, man, God bless you, and God bless Tony Perry and all that you and he and you mentioned another name should be here right now, but Tony couldn't have done it all without a little bit of help from a lot of people out there.
Sure.
And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I thank you, Lee. Thank you so much for coming by and visit.
Thanks.
Next up will be Mr. Johnny Johnson. He's got a little bit of history in high school football and college football and all that. Go ahead and give the microphone over to Johnny Johnson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Now we're going to step in and we're going to segue into a parent, an athlete, a Division I athlete himself. And, of course, he's had many, many opportunities to not only coach the game of high school football, but to be involved in a high level of success. And, of course, the one, the only, Mr. Johnny Johnson, whose son Johnny Jr. played in this valley, played at UCLA, was a great Division I cornerback, defensive back athlete. And now Jalen Johnson, your other son, who's all Pac-12 conference and turned himself into a heck of an All-American talent. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Thanks, Matt.
Before we even get any further, what's it feel like watching your Bulldogs all of a sudden in one fell swoop bang themselves right back into national relevance?
Well, actually, it feels real good. You know, started last year. I'm glad they was able to bring Jeff Turford back. And, you know, he was my coach when I was at Fresno State, so I know the bloodline that he brings with the Bulldog bred, Bulldog born mentality, any place, any time, Pat Hill.
Yes.
But it's good from going from the bottom to the top, and it just shows that it's about coaching, because those same athletes were there the year before.
That's right.
And didn't win, and he brought his philosophy and his coaching staff in and took it from the bottom to the top. And then this year he's magnified that, and first time in school history got a 12-win season.
Yeah, win first season. Time. And, which I think got Derek Carlow upset. Some people are saying, that's the best team ever. And Derek, whoa. Great team. Very proud about my Bulldogs. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'd take my team anytime against that group. Do you feel the same way as an alumni? Your teams that you played for weren't chopped liver now. How do you compare this edition of Fresno State football to the past?
Well, I compared, right now, a different football now.
Sure.
Now it's more, pass attack, spread the ball out, do it. But for Fresno State, I felt offended when we play a bigger team and they feel like Fresno who?
Yeah.
Like who is Fresno, that we don't belong on the same field as them. And for Fresno State to, back in my day in 92, go down and beat the Trojans.
Yes.
Sorry, Matt.
Hey, that's okay. I can answer that, but that would take a whole show just to talk about how poor that USC team was that year.
No. They had all Americans, first string, first round draft picks. Willie McGinnis,
Oh, yeah. This room livened up over there. Well, I know how to get everybody excited now.
Johnny Morton will keep going. Rob Johnson and Buffalo. Okay, my bad.
Yeah. This is the Johnny I know. Wait till we get James Fuller in here. We're really going to have some fun. Okay, so on to the world of recruiting. Now, you were blessed to not only be a Division I recruit when you came up, and then you had your sons, and they were all Division I college football players, leading right up to your youngest son, Jalen, or you have any other Johnsons running around there?
No, he's the youngest.
Okay, so Johnny came up through. The game was a little bit different back then. How much 7-on-7? Tell me about his background leading into getting on down to UCLA. And then help me out. He went two colleges, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what was his junior, senior, the progression leading right up to college? Tell us a little bit about Johnny.
Well, Johnny, he didn't have a choice but to be a defensive back. As a parent, I told him that you can play anything on offense, but on the defensive side of the ball, that you're going to be either a corner or safety.
Yeah.
It's up to you what you're going to be. But those are the positions I played, so I made sure that I hone in on those positions because that's what I felt that I had expertise in those areas. And so I started training him the right way because I feel once you get the foundation laid first and your foundation is correct, then everything else will follow. No matter where he goes. So as his dad and as his coach, I made sure that his foundation was correct. So he started playing Pop Warner football, started doing that. I coached his team. I coached him there. And at that time, I didn't know anything about 7-on-7. But then I moved to another area, and I met this guy named Charles Amati.
Yes, yeah.
And he was my
great
neighbor.
Athlete, yeah.
And I seen him doing some DB drills outside, and I started talking to him about what school he go to. He told me Edison. So I started following him, going, and then he was talking about 7-on-7, but at that time, Johnny still was too young. So once he's, got of age and I was a DB, once again, I heard of this guy named Tony Perry, and he has the same passion I have, for kids. He's a DB. He's, coached, corners and DB. So I started following Tony, seeing what he does, and he became my mentor because he was doing things at that time that was just, phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was unheard of for the time and the day that he was doing it. You know, the drills he was doing was unprecedented.
Yeah.
I was, like, wild.
We talking hill work, ladder drills, all the – I mean, he had a lot of different – I called it like the, watching the Blue Angels, and he had his little pregame warm-up routine. They all lined him up. He wanted to make sure that he pointed his defensive backs towards the opponent. But creative type stuff like that.
He did all those things, and I was the – I always got to the show early.
Sure.
Yeah. My son.
Thank you.
You know, there was a time when I believe that, it wasn't you. It was Coach Reyes. We got to Fresno City.
Yep.
And, you know, Clifton Smith was, you know, my son's idol at that time. And Cliff Smith, you know, so we went up there and watched the pregame.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
That kid was a Clifton Smith Jr. It was, I'd watch him in youth football. And he was one of those guys, you know, they always say it in football terms. You couldn't touch him in a phone booth. I mean, he could get away, and he was slippery, that one.
Right.
Yeah.
So then from there, with the, you know, he started, I started, dealing with Tone Perry, and I learned something about the heel. So I kept saying, hey, Tone, man.
Yeah.
Hey, show me what the heel at, man. Take me to the heel.
Right,
you know, I
need
something to get some heel work in the Tone. But, Johnny, man, you know. I said, no, Tone, man, hey, where's the heel at,
Tone? Yeah.
So he finally introduced me to the heel, and that's when Johnny was in the eighth grade.
Yep.
He was up there with all the, you know, those legends up there on the hill working, getting that work. And then from that point, it started, you know, 707 as he got older and went on from there.
Well, let me stop, you know, to move into something that's a little bit more personal. It's like I told Lee Perkins, if you don't want to answer, that's fine. But these are the kind of things that a lot of people, I like to have this forum. You know, we're 50,000 watts of power. We're here at First String Sports. I'm guaranteeing, as a parent with all these phenomenal athletes have come through your house, you've spent some time here at First String Sports. I mean, this is a place that, as a coach, myself personally, I'm here all the time picking out things that our team needs. And we're sitting in here looking at all these great Letterman's jackets and all that in this beautiful showroom. But as a parent, I'd like to come back and ask you about movement of athletes. And as a parent, isn't that your business? And I kind of think I know what your answer is going to be, but people start thinking, oh, these kids are getting recruited to go move here and move there. But it's your son or your daughter. You want to do right by your kid. You know, no one else at the end of the day is going to answer to other than you. No one else is going to ultimately care. When we come back, we're going to talk with Johnny Johnson, who's got two outstanding, and one right now is an All-American candidate and All Pac-12 Conference defensive back out of the University of Utah. We'll be back. You're visiting here live on ESPN 940. This is the High School Wrap-Up Show on a Saturday. We'll be back.
Ag Meter's Wrap-Up Show continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Nick Papagni.
A beautiful day. Had a little bit of rain last night. It's perfect to see the rain back. Perfect to see the holiday season well underway. We're here at First String Sports, which is clearly, as the Pag Meter always says, whether it's fashion, furniture, or this place, if they don't have it, then you don't need it. They have everything here, from awards to the great selection of Letterman's jacket. And I know that's the time of year where all the players that I'm coaching are looking to see where they get their Letterman's jackets, where they get themselves equipped to put all that great stuff on that jacket. It's all here at First String Sports. We thank you so much for giving back to the local community, and that's exactly what First String Sports does, is they give back. I'm talking with a coach, a father, a great athlete in his own right, and he knows better than anybody the story of 7-on-7 and how it can impact lives. And before we went to the break, we were talking with Johnny Johnson. And, Johnny, you kind of wrapped up with Johnny Jr. On his travel. Now along came Jalen Johnson, the other son. When did you know that he had a special, special talent that would mix in well with, because he was a heck of a basketball talent, too. Now, I'm sure he probably played baseball and could run track, too. But when did you know that football was like, this could be good?
Well, actually, you know, at Pop Warner at Memorial, in the Pop Warner program, and, you know, like being a little brother, him and his big brother always had a competition.
Yeah.
So little Johnny's told Jalen, hey, if you're better than me, score more than 50 touchdowns in the season.
Yeah, yeah.
So he went out and did that. And, you know, my wife and I was at the game. My wife said, listen, she said, little Johnny is good.
Mm-hmm.
She said, but that's your dude right there, right? Now, I had another guy, you know, James Fuller, told me that he's special.
Yes.
You know, he said he's special. I said, okay, I know. But now he said, no, he's special. He said, I know that's your son, but I'm telling you, he's different than anybody else. But from Pop Warner, he just had it because at the end of the day, when little Johnny was getting the training, so was the little brother.
Yeah.
So he got the advanced training at a young age when his brother is 4 years older than him. He was already getting at work. He was already being exposed. So therefore, his knowledge, his understanding of football just expanded and grew.
Well, I've only made probably one major mistake in my coaching life, and that was you splitting up the Coach Fuller and the Coach Johnson show. I always told Coach Fuller that, you know, I picked the wrong guy. I picked the wrong guy. My mistake, I'm public national radio right now letting everybody know that I could have had a wonderful existence with Coach Johnny Johnson with me on my staff, but couldn't have both you guys together, and I picked the other guy who gave a little bit, but there was nothing near what he gave compared to what I could have got out of Johnny Johnson. So, having said that, Jalen Johnson had an unbelievable, successful high school career, finished at Central, and then on to the University of Utah. We're talking about the great defensive back, cornerback Jalen Johnson, has all the attributes I think it's going to make for a guy who can get paid very handsomely in this game of football. So how's Jalen right now? Tell us a little bit about the holiday season and this last football season with your son.
Well, he's good. You know, right now, you know, that Jalen is preparing for the Holiday Bowl. He played on December 31st in San Diego, California. He came home for a few days. He, you know, just needed to get away. So he came home for about 4 or 5 days and, you know, just to clear his mind, get away from, you know, the cold weather and just the daily grind. And so he's excited about the challenge coming, you know, before him with Northwestern, you know, big powerhouse school, physical team. And there's one more chance for him to display his talents, you know, out there, you know, for the University of Utah.
Now, did he, as all I tell all the freshmen that go away, kids that I've had that have gone on to college that I've coached, that first year or that first few months, you're going to get homesick. You're going to want to come home. Did you get any of that from your boys? Was there a lot of that, man, I don't like this place. I'm coming home.
No, because, you know, since they've been kids, you know, just always been the plan the whole time. Going to college, going to Division One. So it's been inbred in him that going off to school is a business.
Yeah.
You know, I tell them this is not – high school was for fun.
Yep.
College is a business. It's a job. It's no longer fun. It's more like an 8 to 5. You punch on the clock. They own you. You got to do what you got to do. And Jalen has been the baby. He's so mature for his age.
Right.
He been around a lot of wisdom with myself, my boy Bobby Gilbert, James Fuller, and other adults has expanded his mind beyond his years. So Jalen told me, he said, Dad, I don't like it in Utah.
Yep.
But I'm not here to like it. I'm here for a business decision.
Yep. Yeah, talking back in 7-on-7, and you've got a great story that I'd love to hear about Jalen going out and having a certain ranking, and you know, the rankings and the star ratings, that's big, obviously, now. Sometimes it doesn't mean much, but it does put you on a status level to which schools are probably going to go after you. And a Tony Perry type, the power of a Tony Perry. Tell us about the trip down. Was it to Las Vegas, Pylon Sports, big national tournament?
Exactly. So what happened with that was, like the year prior, Jalen, I hurt his hip.
Yep.
And he hurt his hip, and he couldn't get to the 7-on-7 tournament, so he wasn't being exposed.
Yeah.
So as a kid, he had certain goals and aspirations for himself to be at a certain star level at a certain point in his high school career. And when he seen that he wasn't at that level, he was upset. But the great Tony Perry knew his Jalen ability. He knew Jalen is a 4 or 5-star guy because of his talent level and Tone watching play basketball and football. So Jalen was upset. So Tone said, hey, don't worry about it. I got you. Just come down to this tournament. Well, he was in the Valley Championship basketball game.
Yep.
And he played, you know, that night. And so Tone, you know, told the kids and the recruiters, hey, listen, I'm telling you, I got a killer coming.
Yeah.
You know, that's his word. You know, he's a killer. And he said, but he's not here right now. You know, he'll be here on Sunday. Don't need a trip.
Yep.
So Tone kept calling Fuller, hey, man. He said, Tony, hey, the Duke got to play a basketball game tonight, Valley Championship. So long story short, he played a Valley Championship game that night.
Yep.
He went out. We woke up 3 in the morning. Fuller and I drove him to Vegas.
Yep.
We got in about 9:30 that morning. He got to the camp by 10. He interviewed, talked to the scouts, and he put on a show. And after the tournament, Tone said, I told you he was a killer.
Yeah.
And he went from whatever stars he was at that point, he microwaved him to the next level, got him 3, you know, 4-star, 4.5 stars, whatever it was.
Yep.
And he was ranked, you know, the number three corner in California, and he started getting his national rankings after the Power Line tournament.
And that's a great illustration of not only the power and the clout and the horsepower of Tony Perry, but everybody knows, no, you have to have the goods. You have to have the ability to go play. But there's a lot of talent, and every year it's proven that way, that a lot of young men have the talent, but they never get an opportunity to get exposed. And most importantly, there's not someone out there like a Tony Perry that's jealously advocating for how good this player is. And when Tony turns over enough of that language to certain powers that be, it has a little clout. Like, well, if Tony's saying this guy's the legitimate deal, he's a killer.
Exactly.
We're going to take a look. And sure enough, your son went down there, and I remember that, as many of us do. And he went out and put on a show, right, Lee? I mean, it was a show. He's covering down on one of the top receivers in America and shutting him down. And the rest is history. Congratulations, Mr. Johnson, and to the whole family. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas and all that good stuff. And you've got a long journey still. But I know as a parent, I've been a parent of athletes too myself, and whether we admit it to people or not, it does have to make you puff your chest out a little bit to know that you raised two and a whole family full of good people, man. Good job, Coach.
Thank you, Matt.
Right on. Well, we'll be back. We're going to take a break. That was Johnny Johnson, and looking forward to watching his son down the Holiday Bowl taking on Northwestern. He's the all-star defensive back, cornerback, Jalen Johnson. We'll be back. We're going to visit now with the next level. The guy, I like to say, the mouth of the valley. Mr. James Fuller's up next. He's a hell of a talent. He's a great coach. He'll be back talking a little bit about Memorial football and how it went down at the state game. We'll be back. You're listening to 940 ESPN. This is the Saturday Wrap-Up Show. We'll be back.
Pag Meter's Wrap-Up Show continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Nick Papagni.
Back live here, First String Sports. I'm Matt Johnson. Nick Papagni is, as he says, on location, checking out some of the great state basketball tournaments going on in the holidays and getting a whole big list of things together because he's been asked to give out state rankings now in basketball. He has to be well-versed on all the rest of the teams, not just the teams in the Central Valley. I'm Matt Johnson. I'm filling in on a Saturday. Normally I don't do this, but I'm happy to help out my buddy, the Pag Meter, and here I am. Live at First String Sports. We're talking 7-on-7. We're talking about wrapping up the football year. We're going through a series of guests. Next up is a good friend, and he's always involved in high school athletics and 7-on-7 and obviously trying to help improve the status and the well-being and everything that goes along with the young student-athletes in our valley. And he's now coaching at Memorial. Welcome, Mr. James Fuller.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about what a great ride it was to watch Memorial football. I was open and out there to the public how I felt all along that the not only does the school at times, and I've been part of it, but I really don't believe in what I'm saying a lot of times. I think the school is doing exactly what we should. When I first moved to this valley, I sat around and I wondered, now why don't we have a Modern Day or a De La Salle, a private school power in the sports that matter most to me, which is, of course, football, basketball, and probably baseball, too, and girls' basketball and all that. But every time that Memorial starts to rise their head up and get a little ahead of the game and start winning and doing things, people start just accusing, oh, it's, yeah, recruits and all that. But you know what? That's going all over the state of California. No one's really doing the same kind of talk. Around here, I think the Valley's always behind the times about how the game really works. But beyond all of that, it was a phenomenal year, great talented group of guys. Tell me about the journey, and then let's talk quickly, we'll move on to 7-on-7, about that final state game and some of the officiating that I had to sit through.
Well, it was a great journey, and, you know, the kids, they really played hard all year. We wasn't able to complete it due to a lot of bad calls, officiating that was going on.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything that hasn't already been said. A lot of the calls that were, well, most of the calls that took place were against us.
Yeah.
and yeah. it happened at crucial times, and we just right. couldn't rebound from that.
Well, the third quarter, it was a great journey. And a lot of times, you know, it's cliche. We say as coaches, you know, hey, you know, we accomplished a lot, and you really did.
Right.
On my book, is what I was going to tell you, is that I had Central 1, Memorial 2, but all along I was looking for that Central Memorial matchup. I thought the matchup would have been good. Whether that would have been completed, who knows? You know, Buchanan had a great team, Liberty, you know the list. But sticking with the Memorial Panthers, you're down there, it's late third quarter, you're lining up for a punt, the punt snap goes over the punter's head, rolls into the end zone, somehow they blew the whistle dead before the, and no one rushed either, so the punter had plenty of time to get the ball off. Were you aware that the call was that they thought he stepped out of bounds? Was the official vocal with the sideline letting everybody know what he thought happened?
No, he wasn't vocal, we just assumed that he had, but when we saw the replay,
sure,
he had a good yard and a half prior to going out of bounds.
Yeah,
and the ball was at least 2.5 to 3 yards.
Yes,
away from the out of bounds.
Yeah,
what happened was the referees were out of place.
Out of place. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they didn't get into the proper angle where they could make the correct call.
Yeah,
and I think he assumed that he was out of bounds.
And the broadcasters, the part that got me crazy was that I have the TV to watch and say, God, what is that called? Because on TV, not on replay, just when the play was happening live, oh, no! But yet no one rushed, so he had plenty of time to gather himself. When they blew the whistle, even the announcing crew, wait. In high school, you're allowed to return the ball out of the end zone. Everyone, including the announcers, felt like they called some, you know, when you kick off and the ball goes in the end zone in high school football, it's a dead ball.
Yes, yeah.
You cannot return it out of the end zone. They thought that's the call they made. So they were searching for somebody to call in. I called the head of officiating SJVOA group who told me how the rule is nope, should have been an inadvertent whistle, replay the down.
Exactly.
It would have been, you know, no problem. So, really, from the angle that you were at, Coach Gosen and I talked about it, he was at, you weren't quite sure whether he stepped out or not.
Until we saw the replay.
Until you saw the replay.
The replay was clear.
Now, as a coach who's been in this valley a long time, an ex-Division I football player at Fresno State, a guy who's been absorbed in football your whole life, is there a problem with if you're doing a game of that magnitude? We've got TVs everywhere. Couldn't we have just said, officials timeout, let's get this right?
Absolutely. Something should have been done.
Right.
I mean, you have a game of that magnitude, state finals, and you make a call like that, and not just one call. You make several calls.
Yeah.
That was a totally different outcome, made a different outcome of the game. And it's just sad that the kids can experience the game, lose it. If they're going to lose it on them all, not being something taken away from them like it was.
Yeah.
So it was just bad on both ways because I think the other team was – they were shocked that they won it.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know whether to, you know, be happy or cry.
No, but they did, you know, give them full due respect, which I'm sure you would. They did have a they were playing well now. And this group, by the way, you know, when it came out, the matchup, and I remember first Nick, the Pag meter looked at me and said, oh, shit, Memorial, 21-point favorite right out the gate. And I kind of had that moment of, whoa, let's not so fast now. When I saw Lawndale come out, they had a defensive front now. These guys were monsters. This group looked, and I just got done the night before watching De La Salle play in Modern Day. They had a Modern Day frontline look, at
Absolutely.
Least the body types.
They were men.
Were they giving you guys some fits?
Absolutely. They were men up front.
Yeah. And then that back that they had running back, he was pretty much, you knew he was getting it, but it was hard to slow him down.
That's why USC is recruiting him.
That's why he's, USC's not recruiting him. They signed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, but proud of you, proud of course, Brandon Brazil, Coach Gosten, the entire San Joaquin Memorial program, great year. Sorry to hear. I mean, I was really in the full protest mode thinking, what would I have done as a head coach? And knowing that the angle was probably bad, I thought, I don't know. But my mind was saying, run onto the field, as you could do very well, James Fuller. Make a scene at midfield. And refuse to leave the field until someone gives you better clarification. But not having the ability to see. You guys have got a huddle sideline where you could pick it up? Could you see it on your iPad monitor at all?
Yeah, we saw it. But first of all, I would have never ran on the field.
I would have
been disrespecting the school.
I know.
Made a fool out of myself. So I wouldn't have done that. But I understand what you're saying. We should have protested.
Well, it's like at the Olympic Games when the South Korean box whatever beat our – like Pernell Whitaker, fictitiously.
Rob.
I'm not leaving the arena. I'm not leaving the you're going to have to haul me out of there. So,
Trust me, Anthony Golston felt like doing
okay.
that. Trust me, he did. But he didn't.
Of course.
He has too much
I'm kidding.
Class. Yes.
But great right. job.
Okay.
Coach, moving into 7-on-7.
Okay.
Tell me the names. Give me the background. And we all fully are, we're all aware of the imprint, the footprint that Tony Perry left. But it's not over yet. Tell us the future of DB Guru and 7-on-7.
The future of DB Guru, TP DB Guru Red, Tony Perry left it in the hands of two great people, Lee Perkins and CJ.
SCJ.
They're known as Wee Wee.
Yes.
Okay, those are the two people that are running DB Guru. And we have other coaches.
Have you ever talked to CJ? Wee Wee.
Absolutely.
When does Wee Wee start? When does the name become Wee Wee? I got friends called Poopy.
That name has been around way before my time.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to
Lincoln High School, San Diego. He was in my section.
Okay.
Heck, we were probably in high school together. I don't think we ever crossed paths.
Okay. No. He's a great person. Him and, as well as Lee Perkins. Those two are the people that are DB Guru, and they have coaches like myself, Johnny Johnson, Garnett Fountain, Steve Nelson, Dave Rivera, Rock Green.
Yes.
Okay, we are the people that are going to continue Tony Perry's legacy.
Yes.
And continue on with DB Guru. And we're going to hopefully do them proud and continue to get kids out of the valley, get them scholarships, whether it's Division One, Division Two, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, that's our goal.
The program's in good hands.
That's our mission.
And so anyone out there that's thinking that it's going to dry up and go away, it's not going away.
DB Guru is live and well.
Yeah, yeah. And so the spirit of Tony Perry lives on. The DB Guru continues to succeed. Well, thank you so much, James Fuller.
Thank you, man.
I give you a little bit of business every now and then. You give it back better, I think.
You know what? Let me correct
you. Last night when you called me, you just jumped right into conversation.
Absolutely.
I'm like, how about an announcement? Who are you?
No, you know what? Get right into it.
Yeah.
Hit it head on.
Yeah, right on.
But
I will
correct you on one thing.
Yes.
You said you had Central and then you had Memorial 1-2.
Yeah.
It's really Memorial.
Yes.
And it was Central. So
yes.
You kind of had them backwards, but
okay.
I'll forgive you for that.
That's okay. There you go.
Okay. All
there
right.
There you go.
Thank you, Matt.
We'll argue later, but
love
that's
you,
okay.
Man.
Love you too, bro. Thank you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, kid. All right. Let's bring in Will Hamilton, because there's that 7-on-7 moment, of course, and that's big. But the progression of high school athletics has led into an area where they're never going to go back. It's never going to go away. Matter of fact, it's going to continue to grow and grow, and that leads into, well, what about the big fellows? What about the guys who play in the trenches? What's their version of 7-on-7? And you're seeing more big man on big man type stuff. You're seeing mitts with Jesse Cipolla, who has a program for men in the trenches. So, Will Hamilton, that's kind of your expertise. Tell us about the growth and the future for the big men.
Well, I think
Will Hamilton's a coach, the defensive line coach. He's been everywhere, strength and conditioning coach. He's pretty much has done it all. So, welcome to the show, Mr. Coach Hamilton.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, you know, it's a weird thing. You know, the past 10 years, I guess 15 years now, 7-on-7 has grown so much. It's been a showcase to put young athletes out there in front of college coaches and really showcase their skills. And there hasn't been anything like that for the big man at the same level.
Sure.
And I think that's something that's going to start growing out. I happen to be part of an organization out of Sacramento called Lineman Wins Games. My defensive line coach from college out of Sacramento State, John Ostrout, started that. He's now the head coach of American River College.
Yep.
And they put great clinics on for coaches down there, bringing all kinds of O-line, D-line coaches from across the nation, from all big schools. It's really, really, really a cool event that's held every year in May. But
well, Coach, there's not a – you know, it's tough because, you know, in 7-on-7, you get to really play football minus the blocking and tackling and all that aspect. But in the big man stuff, I mean, you've got to have drills that are set up to simulate game stuff. But that's not easy because the guys aren't wearing full gear and it's a different animal. What are the type simulated drills that you think – parallel regular game of football?
Well, you always want to see your drill out on game tape.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When you see your guys moving, the patterns they move in, you want to see that on film to make sure you're doing the right drill. I've always had that thought. And really, a lot of our stuff, obviously, we can't be as aggressive in the offseason, banging the guys around.
Yeah.
But the cool part about being able to do something like this is, you know, as you know as a head coach, O-line and D-line individual time gets dwindled down at the end of the year to 10, 15 minutes if you're lucky, right?
Yep.
In a high school practice setting. And this is a way where we can take those big men and really work with them all year round without banging them up and really work on their skill sets like it's an individual skill set that we'd have. Instead of having 10, 15 minutes, now I have an hour with them every Sunday in the off season or more.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
these neurological things that help us, you know,
yep.
fire and stuff like that. If we're taking a whole half the year off of doing that,
mm-hmm.
yet the skill guys are not, we're missing out on a huge part of practice and a huge part of bringing our development up.
Now, is the group of guys you're work? Are you affiliated now with DB Guru? Or is it? Are you joining forces to give the full one-stop shop for the families that think they want their son to get involved? Yes, we are. That's what we're doing.
Absolutely, and that okay. you know, one thing we
are you going to be called DB Guru?
I don't know what I'm called. I know I'm just the O-line, D-line kind of guy.
Or Big Man Guru.
Big
what are you guys going to be?
Whatever it works out. It's just one of those things. I think it's needed.
Yeah.
And I think this area has a great level of talent.
Yep.
That needs to be exposed. And however they want to call that.
Yep.
Let's just get out to those tournaments and compete and really.
I certainly not only respect it, love that idea because I'm not even comfortable at practice. And as players, we all played the game where it's always, okay, skill guys over there. It's like, well, what, they're not skill guys? They're kind of got a skill too.
Yeah.
And we never have developed like a real pro, positive, you know, the big fellas, you know, the hoggies. It's always negative.
Yeah.
You know, how about like, you know, the other skill guys?
Well,
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Will we talk about that or is it just, maybe it's a badge of honor to say they're the big uglies and the guys are the pretty boys.
Well, and
I'm not going to get in trouble by that. I'm looking at Coach Fuller over there. You know, at USC, we called our group the Spider Monkeys, but I said that once, and I think someone said, man, you're going to get fired for using that term. I'm thinking, what, is that wrong? Okay. All right. You know, like, white boys can't play defensive back anymore, I guess. I don't know. But,
well, it's funny with the, you know, with the negative stuff you see towards it. We have a different style of football now. This spread game is bringing some offensive linemen out that could play tight end, could play defensive
end. That's right.
I mean,
you
look at a kid like Connor Gomness they had over there at San Joaquin Memorial.
Yeah. Yep.
That kid could play on the defensive side of the ball if you want. He could play tight end if he wanted. So you're getting a new breed of athlete, and with that, they're going against a new breed of athlete because the new defensive ends in the last 10, 15 years, that might be the biggest, strongest guy on the field when it comes to having speed and all the agility too. So you're backpedaling against the best athlete, powerful athlete on the field. You got to be somewhat skilled, I would say.
Yep.
So working on development of that athlete's skill, not just sitting them in the weight room all day, which is not a bad thing. Obviously, I'm a weightlifting coach, strength conditioning specialist. But having the skill set and the drill work in the off season is huge because they need it as much as the skill guys do.
Absolutely. Well, Coach Will Hamilton, keep up the good work and training and everything you do. We're going to finish with Garnett Fountain. How much time do we have there, Bobby? Yeah. About 7 minutes to complete the show. So I thank you, Coach Hamilton.
Appreciate it.
Love your work and happy holidays.
Absolutely.
To you. We're going to introduce quick to close out the show. Yeah, we're going to take a break first. We'll come back and we'll visit with Garnett Fountain, who's got a young son. We'll finish this journey of recruiting, talking about his son and as a parent and the perspective he has in the world of competitive 7-on-7 football. We'll be back. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Saturday wrap-up show, live. We'll be back.
Pag Meter's wrap-up show continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Nick Papagni.
We're back here live, First String Sports. This is the Saturday high school wrap-up show, and what a wrap-up it is to a wonderful football season. But it's not just a wrap-up. It's what's getting ready to happen, and that's the world of 7-on-7. I introduce quickly. We've got about 5 minutes to talk a little football, 7-on-7, and everything else. With the great Garnett Fountain, coach is at Edison High School, the defensive coordinator. He's been there. He's been coaching all over, and he's a part of this DB Guru. Welcome to the show, Garnett.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate you.
Also, I might point out another Bulldog alum, another outstanding Division I football player you were in your own right, the linebacker.
Yeah, I played for Sweeney. A lot of these guys, these younger guys and stuff, weren't experienced to the tutelage that Sweeney brings to you. I think he bred a different type of football player, to be honest. So you'll find a lot of those guys are coaches now.
Yep, yep. So, perfect. He came off that, proverbial tree. That's good.
Exactly.
So tell us about the progression and the time with DB Guru and what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, actually, I guess it all started with you, Matt. You and Tony Perry gave me my first opportunity to be a DC for Edison. I think we had a good defense that year. We played some really good football.
Well, that's because I saw you at youth. I'd see you at the thing for the kids that they put on every year with Jordan and out at the stadium.
Oh yeah, we do the Big Bang Weekend, with
Big
Kaijo.
Yeah,
and we do a camp that has over 500 kids there every year, and that's a free camp.
Well,
you'll notice that theme throughout DB Guru is free. One of the things that TP and Kevin Jordan believe in is free athletics and teaching for the youth. We're not trying to make money. We're trying to make athletes and get them to college. That's our job.
And I saw your enthusiasm in those little pickup games, in those camps, and I felt like, man, energy, I think, is something that's forgotten a lot of times, and I don't like coaching on staffs where all six, seven, eight of us, including the head coach, are just like, okay, here we go. You got to bring the energy. And I've coached with guys before that didn't, but the guys that do, guys like you, are the ones that I always believe captivate the kids, because football can get to be tedious and boring, and you got to keep the kids on point. So I congratulate you on a fine year. Now, with DB Guru, you've had a lot of success in that linebacker group. Tell us about some of the names that have come through.
TP came and got me to coach the linebackers. He also brought in Rod Green for the secondary. One of the main reasons I think he kind of wanted to focus on the linebackers a little more is we had Caleb Kelly, who went on to Oklahoma. And then I came in and we had Cabana Watson, who just signed for Arizona. We had Jacob Hollins, who's at Illinois. There's a lot of linebackers that have done.
And you don't necessarily, DB Guru, you think DBs, and we talked with Coach Johnson and his sons, and it's defensive back. I'm an old defensive back, but you forget that really what makes a 7-on-7 thing really work are linebackers who can move around and cover down on people, or you're just going to play with seven defensive backs. If you want to keep football real, you got to have big bodies like a Caleb Kelly or a Cabana Watson, and how are they going to be able to handle space?
Well, you know, in football, you still have to have flat players and the underneath guys, and most of the time those are linebackers.
Yeah.
You know, and what we did with Watson was, we had a project. We wanted him to stand up and play outside linebacker.
Yeah.
So what we did, he started off as a defensive end, but on the offseason, we worked him out with the DBs, and trust me, he could cover as good as a lot of the DBs that were out there, a lot of times better than the DBs.
And he's long, 6'3", long arms, yeah.
Big motor on that kid, leadership skills and stuff like that. But having all that been said, let's talk a little bit about where DB Guru has been the last 3 years.
Sure.
You know, I came on with TP, and we probably did two seasons, and we finished in a lot of the tournaments in the top three. I would say. But it wasn't until last year, after TP's death, that I think we were playing with a vision and passion. And lo and behold, we went out and probably run 7-8 tournaments up and down California.
Yeah.
Probably something that TP had never even done while he was there.
Yeah.
Winning those tournaments also got us national ranking. We were ranked number 4.
I saw that.
In 7-on-7 nation. We got invited to go to the national championship, Adidas, which, mind me, let me just tell you, if you think that they ain't putting money in DB Guru, I think they dropped about $3 or $4 million in that tournament.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing thing. I've seen college coaches. I've seen you just name it. If you want to be a factor or get your name out in college or work on the off season, you got to be participating in some type of 7-on-7 or camp environment.
It is what it is. I've always said that. There's no way around it. Yeah.
TP used to tell us all the time, you know, they'd say, how are you guys able to play man through a whole game? How are you guys able to just lock up and then send 6 and 7? Well, TP says, you know, hey, we got to work our guys on the off season.
That's
kind of the motto that we've had.
And you guys have done a great job. I mean, we're close at the end of the show now, but I want to thank, of course, Lee Perkins for the work and continuing on this operation of DB Guru. Will Hamilton, thank you to give a perspective on the big man from an area of a guy who's out in the trenches doing it day in and day out with DB Guru, but living his dream out there coaching high school football and helping the young men. James Fuller, Johnny Johnson, great job. Garnett Fountain, did get a chance to touch on your son over there. I understand he's coming out to I'll be visiting with him a little bit and seeing how he progresses to get into college. Outstanding time, great thing to be talking about this time of year, celebrating the holidays, but never forgetting Tony Perry and the great things.
All things TP.
All things TP that Tony brought to the party. We thank you for listening. You guys all have a good Christmas and a happy holiday and a happy good new year, and we'll be bringing this back up. You've been listening to 940 ESPN, the Saturday wrap-up show. As I like to say, get in the game.